It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break. But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. Break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Nelly Yusupova. She's a technical strategist and an internet expert who teaches entrepreneurs how to use and leverage technology in their business. And we're going to look at ways to create a tech solution to not only create repeat revenue for you, but also to get you out of that time for dollars equation. So hey, when you get done listening today, or actually if you can do it right now, go to businessexponential.com and download our 10 Steps to a $1 Million Business. It's an amazing report. It's going to make it so much easier for you to build, grow, and sell your business. businessexponential.com. You'll see an orange bar at the top of the website, so click on that and download the report. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to have Nelly on the show is that, you know, when it comes down to brass tacks, where do service businesses get stuck? Well, you know, and I know, it's in that time for dollars equation. Whether you're doing a flat fee or a retainer, it's still time for dollars. You need to put in the time to earn the dollars. So what do? We try to find ways to spend less time. Well, how do we do that? Well, one way is you can try to work faster. Just do whatever you do, but do it faster. Do it more efficiently. Or you can delegate to other people, have them spend their time so you don't have to spend yours. Or you can create relationships that provide for recurring revenue so at least you can spend less time in client acquisition and more in client service. But without some way of automating, it's just shifting around the limited hours that we have, isn't it? But what if technology could solve a problem for our clients? And as our guest today says, not just a vitamin, like a nice to have, ooh, it would be really great, but a painkiller. What if technology could help solve that and solve it for many people? Building a technology solution to accompany your service solutions could be a great way of finding leverage and breathing room and helping your service business scale. But you want to approach it sensibly. You know, this is not a magic pill and fairy dust that, oh, you know, I have an idea and let me just hand it off to somebody and poof, it'll come back neatly wrapped and perfectly done. No, there is a process to it. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today with our guest. So a little bit about Nelly Yusupova. She's a dynamo. She is the CTO of Web Girls International. She's the founder of digitalwoman.com, and she's the creator of Tech Speak for Entrepreneurs and the Build Your Social Media Footprint Boot Camps. And I'll say in full disclosure, I took her Tech Speak for Entrepreneurs Boot Camp, and it really opened my eyes to, first of all, I don't need to be a techie to be able to embrace this process. Sure, I'm not going to do coding. No way. But there are ways to make it really understandable, and Nelly is brilliant about sharing that and sharing the information and the vocabulary and also the process, and that's part of what we're talking about today. Now, Nelly has just recently been included in Fast Company's League of Extraordinary Women. How cool is that? She's been at the forefront of women doing business online since 1999, and she is the Wall Street Journal's Woman on the IT Fast Track. She's a technical strategist, an internet, social media, and marketing expert and consultant. And as I mentioned before, she works with entrepreneurs to teach them how to use and leverage technology in their businesses. She's also a speaker and presenter for many organizations and major industry events. And we are really delighted to have her here on Business Breakthrough. Hey, Nelly, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hi, Nina. Thank you for inviting me to be here. I'm really excited.
You know, one of the reasons I'm excited for us to talk about the subject is for many service business owners, they really are basing how they earn money on a time for dollars equation. And they usually are like up to their eyeballs. So the last thing they want to think about is, oh, I should be creating an app or a software product. But to talk to me is why would that be a great way to scale for a service business owner?
Well, that's a great question. As human beings, you can't make more hours in a day. So
No, you can't.
I'd love to do that, but you can't. So as a consultant or a service provider, your income is really limited to the maximum number of hours that you can work. And a great way to scale your business by developing a software product or application that addresses your niche market or your customers. So the other thing you can do is find an inefficiency in the market and build a tool that addresses that inefficiency. And the beauty of that is that once you build it, once you can sell it to many people and all you have to do is improvements to the product, but you are scaling yourself beyond the hours. And that's why software products solve an actual real problem. And we'll talk about that, why it needs to solve a real problem. It's a great way to scale your business.
So fascinating that actually today is the day we're doing this, because just yesterday I had lunch with a colleague who's an intellectual property attorney. And rather than use one of these, you know, custom legal practice management platforms, what she found is they weren't doing all of what she needed. So she's actually developing her own platform, which could then be rolled out to other similarly situated attorneys.
Absolutely. And the number of people that the non-technical people specifically who are getting into this software bandwagon, it's the hottest thing to do, is unbelievable, because it's such a great way to scale your business beyond the hours and grinding. You know, even if you have a team of two or three people, you're still scaling the number of hours you can work, but it's still limited by mm-hmm. the maximum income that you can generate. So there's lots of people that I meet through my boot camps. I teach a boot camp called Tech Speak for Entrepreneurs, where I teach non-technical entrepreneurs how to manage software products and deliver them on time and on budget with a team. And I met lots of entrepreneurs who are in that same kind of situation. And if you'd like, I can give you some examples.
Yeah, I know, because I think one of the things that may be difficult for service providers, and I know before even I took your workshop, it was tough for me to wrap my mind around, well, what would I even do? I mean, forget the process, which I'd love to talk about, but what are some of the things that service providers have done in the realm of software or apps or something technology-based?
Sure. I'll share three examples with you.
Great.
And I think they're very different, so it'll give you a good overview. The first one is the yoga instructor. She has a physical studio in New York City, and she fell into the hours trap and she wanted to figure out how to scale. She came up with an idea for a mobile app to teach parents how to do yoga with their children. And when she launched her mobile app, she instantly made her business global. And any parent, wherever they were, could download the app, buy it, and start learning yoga, how to do yoga with their child. So it's no longer what she could sell, but anyone in the world could buy her app. The next example I love, this was another person who attended TechSpeak. Mm-hmm. He was a realtor and worked in the business for many, many years. And through being in the business, saw a lot of inefficiencies in the business he was in and thought of a great idea that would save other realtors a lot of time and make them more efficient at their jobs. So he had an idea. The idea was for the software application. So he took that idea to his real estate agent and was able to pre-sell his solution and actually got paid in advance to build it. Ooh, and wow. The funny thing is that he then came to TechSpeak to learn how to actually build it. But he found a real need. And we talked earlier how your solution has to solve a real problem, because if you solve a real problem, people will oftentimes pay you without having to even market to them. mm-hmm. because it solves a real problem for them and they're willing to pay. And one more example is a social media consultant through working with her clients, she wanted a solution that would allow them to schedule their content on social media. And there's a bunch of different scheduling apps, but this was a very unique approach that she wanted to be able to do, and there was no solution. So she decided to build a software application and is doing really well as well. So the bottom line, it's so much cheaper nowadays to get a tech product off the ground. I started doing this in the early 90s, and just to get started in the tech business, it would cost you millions of dollars in infrastructure because you have to get your servers, and labor was very expensive. So like nowadays, server costs are down to near nothing. You can get a server for almost nothing. And labor is pretty cheap because you can outsource and offshore if you know how to do it properly, which is what I teach. You can really get it developed on a budget.
Great. So I wanted to circle back because you touched on something really important, and it's really in many ways a key to success at any business, whether it's technical or service related. It's that you need to solve a real problem for
Absolutely.
Your customers. So I'm curious, what's some of that thought process behind what's that real problem? Because quite frankly, I'm not a yoga person and I don't have kids. So the whole idea of teaching parents how to do yoga with kids, I'm like, why is that a problem? You know, why is that a need to have instead of a nice to have? And how can business owners start to identify where they're seeing some real problems that technology can help solve?
Well, the reason why, Nina, you're not seeing how a yoga instructor can relate to parents is because you're not in that environment every day. Mm. So one of the reasons why the service providers or the consultants can really see those problems is because they deal with customers every single day. And they're in a position to see those problems firsthand. And they will look for a solution. Oftentimes, they'll say there has to be a way to solve this problem. And they just can't find anything on the market. And so the first thing to do is look for those problems and really be open to seeing them, because they're everywhere. Every single day, you are coming against obstacles. And so the first thing you need to do is ask yourself, is this a nice to have problem versus this is a real painkiller, what I call a vitamin versus a painkiller, because you really want to find a painkiller. And the way you find a painkiller is through customer development. This is a fancy way of saying market research. This is a way where you go and talk to customers and ask them open-ended questions and not leading them to the solution, but really trying to identify if what you're envisioning is a problem is actually a real problem for them. And that's actually leads me to a very common mistake that entrepreneurs make.
So let's say I'm sitting here saying, all right, you know what? I think I've cottoned on to something because I've been talking to my clients for a while and I'm not seeing a solution out in the market. But I also don't want this to become a complete money pit and distract me from what I'm already doing. So talk to me about what are some of the mistakes that entrepreneurs make when they're engaging in this area, which may be very, very new for them.
Yeah. The first one is that they fall in love with their idea because it's funny because you come up with the idea and the more you think about it, I mean, you've thought of it, right? It's you automatically think it's awesome. And the more you think about it, the more you fall in love with it. And the big problem is that there might be a disconnect with your customer. You might think it's awesome, but the customer's perspective of the problem might be completely different. And so the very first problem to building a successful product is actually not technology. It's really identifying that painkiller problem. And you don't hire a team, you don't do anything, but you go out and you talk to customers. Because the big problem that we've faced back in the 90s when we were building products is we would have an idea, we somehow figure out funding for it, and then we hunker down in our basements for 6 months to a year building that product, and then we launch it. And so like we've been completely out of touch with the world for the last 6 months to a year, or sometimes even more. And we build this product and we launch it, and then when no one comes and buys, we wonder, like, what is wrong with this? Like, I've spent all this time, I've spent all this money building this amazing thing, or what you thought was an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And then you just figure out that you either targeted the wrong market, or nobody wanted the solution in the first place, or the market changed in the last year. And so your solution is no longer relevant.
Okay.
So that's a big problem that... That the first big problem that I think is very crucial, and it has nothing to do with technology.
Right. So let me ask, and it may seem like a really basic question, but I think it would just be helpful to share. What can you give us examples of an open-ended versus a close-ended question? So I have this idea. I am so in love with it, and I want to talk to my clients about it. Can you give us examples about, you know, around how would you ask those questions?
So the open-ended questions are questions that get a user or your customer to tell you the story, to tell you their painful story. So if you're asking a question and the answer is yes or no, that means it's a close-ended question and you're not really getting anywhere. You're just getting to either one option or the other, yes or no. When you want to, the whole goal when you're talking to customers is to get them to talk and tell you the pain points, right? You're not directly asking them, do you have this problem, right? What you want to do is say, if this was the situation, how would you feel about it, right? And that's a very open-ended question and invites someone to tell you the story. So you're not leading them to your solution. Right. Because that's the big problem. Also, you can get to some entrepreneurs are so in love with their ideas that they will actually ask questions that will validate what they are already thinking. And that's a big trap.
Can you give examples maybe through your and not wanting to disclose anybody in particular of maybe some of the crazy and really obvious close-ended questions that people have asked?
Will you pay money for this product?
Okay.
The answer is always going to be yes. Or because that's actually a really bad question to ask in general, but that's a very yes or no question, and you're not really getting the why from that answer. And that's what you want to be able to, from every question that you ask, you want to get to the story. And when people tell you stories and they get really into it, you can get insights from them that you couldn't otherwise, even by asking very direct, open-ended questions.
Okay, terrific. Terrific. So let's say I'm not in love with my idea and I've asked my open-ended questions and I've gotten some feedback from my clients in the marketplace that, you know, my idea might have some legs there. What's the next, shall we say, technology cow pie that I might be stepping into with both feet that I might want to avoid or others might want to avoid?
Well, the next big issue that I see over and over again is the entrepreneur goes from, okay, I have this amazing idea, validated it. Now I need a development team. And so they call me up. I get lots of phone calls about this, and they say, Nelly, I need a development team. I have an idea. I want to hire a developer so I start building it really right away. I don't want to waste any time. Well, in the process that I teach, there's actually 6 steps before you start to write a line of code.
Oh, wow.
And those 6 steps are really important to be able to get you to the on track for success. So they'll define what you're building, how much you're building, and break down this big idea that you have into smaller little tasks that you can launch early and often. So we talked about the big problem of hunkering down and building a product for 6 months to a year, right? So what we're trying to do in this 21st century is figuring out how to iteratively build a product and launch it all the time. So if you want, I can go through the first 6 steps so that you can get an idea of what they are.
Right. So yeah. So as you say, it's it is a small incremental step-by-step process. It's not a boom, okay, let's launch this whole big thing and build it out. I think to your point, it's how do you get the basics done? And also how do you create, I guess what they were calling a minimally viable product so that you're not hunkering down for a year, spending thousands and thousands of dollars, but you got something out there and you can test and tweak. So yes, please take us through step by step. What is that process?
Sure. So the first step, as we just talked about, is validate. So mm-hmm. The importance of validating an idea is so that you can find a real problem. The next step is to build a prototype. And a prototype is a visual guide that represents what your app looks like and how it works. So the big question I always ask from non-technical people is, how can I build a prototype? I'm a non-techie. I have no idea how to do this. It's very easy. You learn the skill. It's a very simple skill. And I can promise all of you that you can all build a prototype. And it's very realistic. And that's the key. If you're building a mobile app, you can create a fake mobile app that's very realistic without writing a line of code, and then give it to a potential customer to actually use so that you can refine a lot of the problems in the prototype before you start building. And that's the third step, refining the prototype. This whole refining and really understanding what you're going to build has two really time-saving things built into it. So when you prototype, you're already starting to define for the developer what you're building, but you're also learning from the customer what works and whether or not the way you think a solution has to be presented to the user to solve the problem you're solving is correct. To give you a very concrete mm-hmm. example, with one of my last consulting clients, redid the prototype three times before mm-hmm. we actually got it right. And now imagine if we wrote code for each of those mistakes that we got, how much more expensive it would get for us. So these three steps are really important. So once you refine the prototype, step four is where you can start to hire a developer.
Okay. And before you jump into that, because I actually want to go back to two for just a nanosecond. What if what you're thinking of is really maybe more of a software type platform? It's not just an app, but it might be a little more involved. How deep do you need to get into a prototype at that point?
So the user interface is what you're working with in a prototype. So, and you're not building the back end, but you can fake it. So, and that's why whether it's a web application or a mobile application or an iPad application, you can create prototypes that are very realistic. And there are some amazing tools now that actually allow you to create real interactions and real animations so that the user feels like something is real that's happening.
Okay, great. So we've got validating, prototyping, refining, and learning from the customer. And then we were going to go into step four, which was...
So step four is where you start to hire a developer, but not to write code just yet.
Oh.
So you're starting to hire the developer so they can help you with step number five and step number six. So step number five is you need to, your developer's help to identify the best technologies to build your product, right? And here... One thing to be careful of, or the red flag here, is to not custom code everything, right? The goal here is to determine what technologies, whether you're custom coding or using maybe some third-party applications, that will enable you to launch your first version as quickly as you can. So it doesn't have to be a perfect product. It has to be a solution that you envision, but it doesn't have to be all custom coded. The faster you launch, the faster you can start learning of what works and what doesn't.
True.
And that's the idea behind it. So with your tech person, what you want to do is figure out what is the combination of the different technologies that you can use to build this product. And step number six is where you, with your developer's help, can determine what that minimal viable product is. what we call the MVP. And the MVP is the least amount of features that you can launch with, but still provide value to your customer. So you will need your developer's help to figure out what features out of the 20 features that you want to build, what features will go into your first launch, your MVP. And then from there, once you launch, you can then build the rest of the features, but you're launching that MVP as quickly as possible.
Great. So as we start to wrap, let me ask you, when it comes to hiring a developer, it's really easy to say, well, let me look for somebody cheap, or my third cousin's best friend's college roommate calls himself or herself a developer. How do you know that you're actually getting somebody who knows their stuff, maybe knows your industry and some of those ins and outs, and actually can be not just an implementer, but also partner in the strategic thinking in this? How do you choose that person?
Well, the first thing you need to do is make sure that they will have time to build it. If you're hiring your aunt's cousin's son, who is a full-time student in a school, he'll be enthusiastic and say, yeah, I'll help you. But then as soon as finals comes or any kind of exams, they're not paying attention to you. And you as a startup where time is of the essence, you don't want to be stuck in that. That's a really bad situation to be in. So first, really try to find professionals. You'll save a lot of heartache and sleepless nights by working with professional people. Mm-hmm. And really understanding, looking at their portfolio, what kind of projects they were working on. If you're trying to build a mobile app and the person is a web developer who has never built one, they probably could figure it out, but it'll take them longer. And if you're strapped for time and really time is of the essence for you, then you might want to hire someone who's already built a mobile app mm-hmm. and knows the process. So from a non-technical standpoint, you obviously can't interview a tech person. So what I recommend when I teach the boot camps is really interview the person and vet the person yourself to make sure that they're going to be a fit first, non-technically. So there's the technical interview and then there's the non-technical interview. So you can do the non-technical interview and make sure that they fit within the company and that you can work with them, that their DNA is going to be matched with your company DNA, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can really work well with them. And then for the technical interview, you can hire another technical expert to be able to vet the person for you. So maybe you have a technical friend who has done this forever but doesn't have time to work on your app. And then they could help you vet the company and or the person.
Okay, terrific. And any thoughts on, is it safer or easier for me as the business owner? I mean, because let's face it, I got a lot on my plate. So to be managing this additional process, which isn't at this point core to my business, is really time consuming and may take me in a lot of areas that are beyond my comfort zone. How do I get the help to make sure that I'm not bleeding money, I'm not throwing it away, I'm really using my time and resources well and wisely?
So the first, and that's a great, great question. The first thing that I would do is and recommend is that you yourself, even though you're not going to be managing the process, learn the process. Mm-hmm. And understand the terminology and the tech talk, because you, even though you may be hiring a third person to manage the whole process for you and interface with the developers and the customers, you should be a part of the process and completely trusting your team to build something and not be involved is a recipe for disaster, which is how the horror stories that I've heard of like $60,000 lost because they weren't involved, right? Those are the types of horror stories that you can prevent if you just stay involved and figure out a schedule where you can maybe hire a third person to manage the process, but you're constantly interfacing with a third person and helping make decisions because you understand the business and technology should always be supporting the business and not the other way around. So you tech people don't understand the business side, and you have to stay involved to be able to help them see how what you're doing is solving a specific problem.
Okay. So in other words, I should not expect to be 100% hands-off, come back to me with a finished product that's beautifully wrapped like a Christmas present.
That never happens.
Never happens.
Never happens.
I can dream, but it never happens. Okay, great. Terrific. Well, Nelly, I tell you, there's a lot here to think about, but and it may sound really complicated, but ultimately when you think about what are the ways to get out of that time for dollars hamster wheel, it's the technology, as you say, that can really be an amazing tool that not only solves a real problem, but helps you scale your business, provided that you're going through it in a systematic way and not just running to it, expecting it to be the be all and end all, but you've really thought it through carefully. So thank you so much for being with us today and for all these great insights.
Absolutely. And for anybody who wants to learn about these 10 steps, I actually have a free class that they can go and check out. And it goes through all of the different 10 steps that you should include in your development process to be able to see those red flags early and often.
Great. And where can they find that?
It's techspeakforentrepreneurs.com, all spelled out, /free-class.
Okay. techspeakforentrepreneurs.com. Give us that last piece again.
/free-class.
Free-class. techspeakforentrepreneurs.com/free-class. We'll also have that on our website at businessexponential.com. So again, for anyone who wants to get some sense of, it might be interesting to have a technology aspect to my business to scale it, provide another income stream and an asset that ultimately I can sell, absolutely worth looking into. So again, Nelly, thanks so much for being with us today.
It was a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for listening. Remember, go over to businessexponential.com right now and download our 10 steps to a $1 million business. We lay it out for you step by step, the 10 building blocks that'll have you building and growing your business so it's not so dependent on you. Won't that be a relief? Of course it will. So do it right this minute so you don't forget. You'll see it there on top of the homepage. Go to businessexponential.com.